Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by Pro Job Network. If you're a small business owner like me, you can do a thousand things to find a great new hire, or you could do just one post with Pro Job Network. Then you can do a podcast about how you won hiring a new person, because with just one click, you could post your ad to over 40 different job sites. It would probably take you forever to do that, especially if you don't have an employee. I mean, if you had an employee, they could be working on that for you. But how do you get the employee? Well, even then, you wouldn't get the preferred placement that you'd get from Pro Job Network. In about a day, you'll get a list of qualified local candidates to choose from, never loco candidates, because Pro Job Network will place your job in front of qualified candidates who've asked to hear about specific opportunities like yours. How great is that? Save time, save money, and you'll find good people too. So go ahead and try Pro Job Network for free for 1 week by visiting tryprojob.com/Rob. That's tryprojob.com/Rob. Post it, hire, it's genius. Try it for free at tryprojob.com/Rob. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicinino back here once again to talk about why the latest player voted off of Survivor lost the game with the man who wrote the Survivor rulebook. Here is the great David Bloomberg talking about why Joe lost. David, are you there?
I am here. Happy Hanukkah, Rob.
Oh, happy Hanukkah to you, too.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, very exciting to talk about. It is 8 nights of Hanukkah, but there's 7 rules and an appendix. So I guess, is that sort of count? Is that similar?
Sure, why not?
And we'll talk about all the reasons why you think Joe lost. How's your week been?
Other than the Bears just blowing it a little while ago, it's been pretty good. How about you? You are getting lots of sleep?
No, it's really, and it's going the opposite direction, unfortunately. So that is not really a good thing. And if we find out why I lose whatever I'm doing right now, that should be the number one reason on the list.
Yeah, well, luckily you have a nice, calm couple of weeks. Nothing exciting or, you know, important happening on The Amazing Race and Survivor in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it is the home stretch here of the finale run of all these shows that we cover. So it's going to be a very big December and much more to come with all of that. But let's stay on target here, David, and let's talk about Joe and the reasons why he lost.
Well, it's funny you say stay on target, because you know what else is coming in the next couple of weeks? Star Wars movie.
I know.
And with that coming out, I feel it's only appropriate to begin by paraphrasing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
When Joe was voted out, I felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for Joe that Joe should have said to the tribal council that if you strike me down, I will become even more powerful than you can imagine. And go on the Facebook page to see. Abby Maria?
No. Instead, it was as if millions of tween girl voices suddenly cried out in terror. In Star Wars, they were suddenly silenced, whereas here in the real world, as you mentioned, they kept on screaming on Facebook, on Twitter, you name it.
Wow.
So they're still out there.
Is there anything you want to set up before we get to rule number one with Joe, talking about if Joe schemed and plotted?
Well, you mentioned on the voicemail show with Ali how many people said they were never watching the show again because Joe was voted out.
Right.
And I have to tell you, you know, going back into my own history, I can't count the number of people who said that to me about various shows when I was running Reality News Online. Now, usually it was about American Idol, but it was often Survivor as well. It's almost as if these people don't quite get that the whole point of these shows is to lose people as you go on. You know, and I think American Idol actually started to cater to it a bit when they brought out the judges save, which I think was a mistake. You can't start changing a show to make a small vocal minority happy. So I don't think those asking Survivor to change after all these years, just so someone like Joe can stick around, are going to be too successful.
David, I don't think it's an empty threat, because go back and look, the Survivor used to have 40 million people watching it, and everybody, there kept being a person like, oh, I'm not watching the show anymore. This person is gone. And that's how we got to this point where we have 9 billion people watching the show.
That's right. It was one person at a time that lost.
Everybody just had that one line in the sand, like, oh, that person's gone. All right, I'm out.
Well, last week, I predicted that Joe might well find himself available to get voted out again, although I didn't predict the fan backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And this time they'd make it happen. And they did. So I'm going to take credit for that one.
All right. So you ready to chalk rule number one?
Well, you know, some people may be wondering how we're going to fill our normal time today. And because some people may be looking at this and saying, well, gosh, this is kind of obvious. And it's also compounded by the fact that almost all the bonus videos I normally use for additional insight were about family visits and other non-strategic topics. So it's great to know how much all of them love each other. But unfortunately for us, there isn't much strategically we can draw from those, although we'll find a few nuggets. But really, some people might say we don't need that anyway, because the answer to our question is pretty obvious. You know, I've said it before, there's usually more than meets the eye. So let's find out as we answer the question of why Joe lost. And I'm going to start with a twist.
Ooh, drop your buffs?
Sure. I don't have mine on right now, okay. So I've already blown that. Normally, we'd begin with the first rule and go through them in order. Occasionally, there are exceptions, and this is one of them, because it would just seem silly to not address the challenge beast in the room. Let's skip ahead to rule number six.
Okay.
So you know what rule number six is,
rule
right?
Six, don't be too much of a threat.
Was Joe a threat? Hell yes.
Yes.
That much was known from before the game even started, and only became more obvious as the game went on.
He's perfect.
Everybody knew. Even Savage's daughters knew.
That's right. But it seems that all of those screaming about Joe leaving, which might have included Savage's daughters, I don't know, they don't seem to understand that this is a key rule if you want to stick around. People need to vote off the threats. But that's not it. It seems like Joe himself didn't understand it, or at least he was very frustrated right after he was voted out. At that point, he said he hoped being a guy who pushed so hard that he collapsed would earn him a little respect with his tribe mates. But he had it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
He got too much respect. That's the kind of respect you don't want on Survivor. And he knew coming in, he had been told by other former players that he should ratchet back his challenge powers. He just couldn't bring himself to do it. He wanted to win the challenges and bring his allies along to victory. But you and I talked previously about how difficult it would be to win all of them. And he even said in interviews that he thought he could win against almost anyone if he made it to Final Tribal Council. Well, the others had to see that too, and they weren't going to let him get there. We were surprised, or at least I was surprised, that they let him get past losing immunity once. It wasn't going to happen again.
Now, David, earlier in the season, I feel like when Joe first started talking about winning 10 challenges in a row, and I was saying, I don't think this is such a hot idea, I feel like you were saying he should go for it.
Well, at that point, yeah. Once he had already made himself known, once he had already shown it pre-merge, and then won the first one, and then won the second one, he couldn't stop at that point because he had set himself down a path he could not deviate from, or else this would happen. But I think you discussed with other people, he needed to pull a Tyson,
mm-hmm.
You know, fake injure himself early on.
Not to imply Tyson fake injured himself.
Okay. Overacting injure himself.
Yeah.
You know,
milk maybe, and injury.
Right. Milk that? And injury. Maybe right about merge time would have been perfect for him. So he would have helped his tribe get to the merge and then boom. Oh, ow, my shoulder, elbow, knee, whatever. But he couldn't do that.
Yeah, I think coming into the game, maybe he could have like downplayed how good he was in the challenges at the beginning. And then it's like, maybe the people from Worlds Apart weren't actually that good in the challenges.
Well, that's a possibility also that, you know, having all of these stars back in the game competing against him, he could have been like, well, I was amazing on my season, but now I'm just average, I guess.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't bring himself to do that.
You guys are really good at challenges. Better than me.
You know, I think we'll talk about that going forward for him, if he can do that. But for now, okay, so that's out there. He was a threat.
Yes.
But despite how obvious that was, it is not the sole reason he was voted out.
There are other reasons on top of it, you're saying?
There were. So we can move on to the rest of those, starting with the first rule.
Okay, now we're going to double back to scheme and plot. Did Joe scheme and plot in your mind?
Well, we sure didn't see it on the show. But he says he was doing it, and I think there are other indications to support that. He was part of the Bayon Strong Alliance with Savage, Jeremy, Tasha, etc. early in the game. And then in an interview, he said he connected with Kelly Wentworth when he noticed on Takeo that she didn't appear to have anyone that she really connected with from her previous tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So he told her they'd have each other's backs 100%. And he brought in Keith with him, and she brought in Cass and Sierra, and all was good with that fivesome until Cass and Sierra drew all the negative attention. So then he said since Kelly was associated with them, he pulled back into the Bayon group with Keith. But he still kept his options open, and in his words, he played both sides. This we did see some of, such as when he was talking to Kelly and Sierra at the beach and accidentally spilled the beans that they were targeting Kelly, leading her to her idol play. He had planned to stick with the core majority for a while and then jump back with them when the time was right. Now, the problem with this is I don't know when he was thinking the time would have been right if Kelly hadn't pulled out the idol, because they'd have just pagonged those guys and Joe would have had no one to go back to. At the same time, he thought that he was going to remain part of the core alliance even after Savage was gone, because Joe said in his interview with you that he was upset with Spencer and Jeremy. Now, I'm surprised that he thought he was in good with Jeremy, given how tight Jeremy was with Steven and how much Steven wanted Joe gone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jeremy did that good a job of reassuring Joe that they were together. I don't know.
I agree. I do think that he did scheme and plot to a degree, and I don't know if he really was super effective with ultimately what he tried to do. But I do agree that he was not just sitting there and trying to win the challenges and not paying attention to the other parts of the game.
Right. So that brings us to the second rule.
Did he do it too much? Was there too much scheming and plotting from Joe?
Well, believe it or not, Joe actually did fail in parts of the second rule.
Okay.
Because he did say he was playing both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he say it in interviews, which, you know, might or might not be canon, but he actually said it immediately after being voted out. In his Ponderosa video, Joe indicated that he said too much at tribal council, which I didn't really see, but we know that they cut those way down.
Mm-hmm.
But he thinks everyone had already figured out that he was playing both sides. And, you know, playing both sides is great as long as people don't really know you're doing it. But he tipped his hand by sticking with the majority when they were going to vote out Kelly. She survived, but he obviously didn't have her back 100% like he had claimed.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Kelly and company voted out one of his strongest allies on the other side. So he said in an interview, once I didn't have Kelly's back, I think she put up a wall and it became a fake facade of her telling me what I wanted to hear and vice versa. And this actually fits in nicely with something that Kelly tweeted and you discussed on the voicemail show when she was asked why she didn't bring Spencer on the reward. And she said she trusted Spencer the most to stay back at camp. Quote, no trust in Joe.
Mm-hmm.
She elaborated on that point in a bonus confessional, one of the ones that was actually useful, where she talked about how she had all these thoughts going through her head, including who she could leave at camp that she could trust not to make a plan against her. So while she appeared to be favoring Joe by bringing him along on the reward, she was actually just keeping one of her enemies closer than her apparent friend, Spencer.
And I certainly understand the logic of it, but wasn't Spencer plotting with Jeremy and Tasha just as much or even more so than Joe could have possibly been?
Well, yes. And I think we'll get to that when we're talking about the upcoming episodes.
Okay. Another thing that Joe said in the exit interview with me, which I thought probably falls under this category, and I was having a little trouble following it, but it sounded like to me he was saying that he almost had like a Reed, Keith, stick to the plan type mix up with Abby Maria, where he felt like he made a plan with Abby Maria to sort of get into like a confrontation at tribal council. And he was going to try to make her cry so people wouldn't think that they were together. But then ultimately, Abby Maria didn't know that he was just acting and that she held it against him. Did you catch that as well?
I did. And I was totally confused by that as well. It seemed like, yeah, he was saying, no matter what I say in tribal council, we're voting this way. And then he proceeded to get into an argument with her. And I think we have to learn that that usually doesn't work, especially with people who aren't strategically savvy, let's just say.
Right. If you were going to do that with anybody, I would feel like the last person in the entire world of Survivor that you would want to do that with would be Abby Maria.
Right, with Keith as an obvious close second.
With Keith as your number one ally, you would think Keith would say, hell no. Don't do it. Do I not stick to that plan. So that seemed questionable to me.
Yeah, and again, I just don't get it. I don't understand exactly what all of that was about, what the point of it was, and yeah, it just comes back to I don't get it.
And at the same time, he was trying to get Abby Maria voted off.
I thought he said that the bigger argument when he told her, no matter what, I'm voting this way, was the previous tribal council.
Okay, got it.
And then, so she was mad at him from that tribal council.
And then it backfired, and then at that point, he had to cut cord with Abby Maria.
Right. And of course, you know, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but poor Abby Maria is portrayed when casting her vote as just insulting him randomly for no reason. When apparently, you know, there was a reason that he got into this verbal altercation with her that none of us saw, which, you know, unleashed the legions of teenage girls on her.
We don't know. We didn't do a census on the Joe demographics on social media.
I guess I'm just stereotyping.
Joe has a big mom contingent also.
Okay, so the teenage girls and their mom.
Yeah. He's the guy the whole mom. Family can rally around.
That's right. And was your mom on there on Facebook?
My mom, she's not harassing anybody on Facebook, and she doesn't have a Twitter or Instagram.
Okay. Well, that's good.
She did say she's not watching the show anymore. She did say that. But she,
one
she,
more. Yeah. 8,999,999.
She did by Friday say that she would rally and then support Spencer moving forward.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. That's nice. She's going to root for the young lad.
He's the backup mom favorite.
Well, that's his problem. He'd been the backup challenge competitor in all of these. So maybe now he can win something.
Rule number three is be flexible. Now, the first rule of yoga is be flexible, right?
Well, that's right. And obviously he was flexible in the physical sense because that's what yoga does for you. But really, that's not what this rule is all about. So from our discussion a minute ago, we know that he didn't tie himself to just one alliance, and that's a good thing. He did what he was supposed to do in making sure he was generally part of the majority. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes he was part of the majority at the expense of someone he had promised 100% loyalty to, but we already went over that. So he told you in the interview that he did his best to make sure he knew where he was with everyone. But clearly, he didn't do a good enough job if he thought he was solid with Jeremy, of all people, you know, as I mentioned. Also, the one place we know Joe remained inflexible was what we had talked about earlier, the way he couldn't bring himself down to human levels instead of challenge God levels. He couldn't pretend to be something he wasn't. And, you know, that goes back to what we had said about Tysoning himself. He just couldn't do it.
For being flexible, you think that it was for Joe?
No pumpkin, no.
Correct.
Then let's talk about rule number four is don't let your emotions control you. Did Joe do a good job of keeping his emotions in check?
Yeah, this is a quick answer for you here. Didn't see any problems with Joe being controlled by his emotions. He didn't vote a certain way because of his emotions. There's just really not much to say here when it comes to this rule for Joe.
Rule number five is pretend to be nice, play the social game. How did Joe do with this?
I think he did a good job here. He talked about it during the game and in his interview with you, saying he wanted to make sure to connect with people on a more personal level. And that might have helped him if he'd made it to the end, but there was simply no way he was making it to the end short of winning all the challenges.
I think Joe has a great social game. I know he kept talking about, I had to work on my social game. I mean, everybody, for the most part, of the however many survivors that he's played with, you know, there's, you know, you could count on one hand the number of survivors that have a bad word to say about him. And we're talking about that he's played with, you know, almost 40 people now at this point.
I think you can count on one finger. But, you know, here's what happened. He got into the argument with Abby Maria, and then the next week he was voted out. And I think this just reminds us of the theme of this season.
With me, you're dead.
Bingo.
Yeah. Do not mess with Abby Maria.
Now, you know, that may have been the reason she voted against him.
You're moldy.
Ew. For everyone else, his social game was really not part of the picture.
Even Steven, you know, he talked about in the People blog, oh, Joe is wonderful. You know, he wanted him out because he was such a nice guy. And, you know, Cass in the early preseason or Cass in the early secret scenes is talking about, oh, that she loves being around Joe and he's building hammocks and he's such a great guy and he's fishing. And so I think that Joe had a pretty solid social game all the way through.
And what would you consider Tasha's thoughts about his body? Is that part of
all I could think about was Joe's body.
So there you go. You know, Joe really didn't have like a flirt game going with anybody in terms of a showmance. I mean, maybe there was some flirtation going on there, but you know, I file that under the social game as well.
Yeah, and he didn't need to. He just took off his shirt and did yoga and all the ladies flocked to him.
Yes. And some of the guys.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So rule number 7, we skip 6 because we talked about it already, is vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. So, David, from where we've been the last couple of weeks, we are still in the strong section of the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they voted out the strongest competitor there. Let's face it. No matter what happened with Joe passing out in that particular challenge, he still was the epitome of that category, the strong. He said he had been sick leading into that challenge, and he still was one of the last two standing after all that time. Imagine if he'd have been healthy. And again, this was kind of outside of his control, which I had mentioned a couple weeks ago was likely the only way he would lose. So watching the way he competed, there was just no way his tribe mates could allow him another chance. He had to go, period.
Pretty cut and dry on the you have to get rid of Joe.
Yeah.
So in terms of our appendices, first one is do whatever it takes to get idols. We saw Joe really go out of his way to get an idol in Worlds Apart. I'm not sure if he necessarily took his foot off the idol gas in season 31, but we didn't see anything of Joe having to do with idols this season.
No, we didn't see it probably because he didn't find one. But remember, the reason that Steven split the vote was because everyone was so sure that Joe had an idol, that he had been looking everywhere, turned the beach upside down. So while it didn't make TV, it did give him, you know, one more week on the show and helped end Steven's time.
The final appendix is about the final tribal council. What did you think about what Joe was doing headed into the final tribal council?
Well, you know, I don't think that the other players really had to think too hard about the jury here. So they weren't balancing, you know, should we do Joe or should we do someone else that's going to make it easier for me at the end, because they knew he couldn't make it to the final tribal council as a competitor or else they lose. So it was just one more reason to remove the dangerous Joe from the game.
Do you think that Joe would have won in a final tribal council?
It's hard to say because we don't know who he'd have been up against. He had a good story. If he had made it past a second time of no immunity, then he could have pointed to strategy, to social game. He could have said, I am a challenge monster, but I'm not just a challenge monster. And the fact that I made it here tells you that I can play this game. That would have been a compelling story. We don't know exactly how anyone else would have made it with him, so it's hard to say. He would have been a tough competitor. I think as we talked about last week, he almost automatically gets 2 votes in Savage and Wigglesworth.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows who else? It just depends how things ended up rolling that way. But I wouldn't have wanted to face him.
Especially that he probably, if he was going to be getting there, you would think that he would get there with Keith, who was his main brochacho in the game. You got to like his chances against Keith and potentially, you know, one of the goats if he's there. I think he had a pretty decent shot.
Well, right. And if he didn't get there against Keith, then someone else would have voted off Keith, which puts another vote for him in the jury. So yeah. Then you're up 3-0 right off the bat.
I think he had a pretty good shot. I don't know if it was a done deal. When Tyson and I talked, Tyson had said if he wins 9 out of 10 challenges or 8 out of 10 challenges, you have to give him the money. I saw there was a little bit of pushback on that from some people who said that it would be a reason not to vote for him because he didn't survive the strategic part of the vote. I do think in the final tribal council, the strategic part of the game weighs in over the physical part of the game. But I think that Joe had a pretty decent shot considering how well liked I think he was by most everybody there.
Absolutely. And I do think that the strategic portion with an all-star cast like this would have held sway. we know that not all of these all-stars are strategy driven. There are a few who are honor bound or, you know, view strength and building shelters and things like that. So it's just hard to say. And we don't know who would have backstabbed whom to get there. And so there could have still been bitterness. Like I said, I wouldn't have wanted to face him in a final tribal council.
Put it all together. Final thoughts on why did Joe lose?
So, as I said at the beginning, Joe was obviously a threat. But he made it past one vote when I didn't think that was possible. So nothing is ever quite that cut and dry. If Joe had stuck by one alliance or another, it's actually possible he could have made it further. Trying to play both sides was what accidentally tipped off Kelly to play her idol to get rid of Savage. He managed to hurt himself doubly by doing that, by losing one of his strongest allies in Savage, while showing Kelly that he didn't really have her back 100%. It also made clear to Kelly that he was double-dealing, meaning she couldn't trust him. Maybe Joe would have been voted out simply for being a threat at some point in the game. If the others were smart, he would have. But the Savage group never had a chance to even think about it. Yes, Joe was the biggest threat out there, but he had also shown himself to be untrustworthy to the only people who might have been able to save him. That's a bad combination. And that is why Joe lost.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I think in that vote where it was that Kelly played her idol and Savage ended up going home, I think if when Savage goes to Jeremy and says, hey, let's vote off Steven, and Jeremy says, no, I don't think that's such a great idea. Why don't we wait on that? And Savage goes back and says, okay, I guess they don't want to do it. And him and Joe sort of say, I guess we'll just wait our chance and go and get Steven out later. If they really take the game into their own hands at that point, if they grab the witches and then Kelly Wigglesworth, I'm not sure. I think that that might have been at final 12. So that's six votes. If you have Keith Nail also there, I think then you have enough to get Steven out and take Steven out of the game. I think that's a much different story for those guys at that point in time. If they're a little more aggressive about taking out the person who is a threat to them, who is actively working to take both of them out of the game.
Yeah, I just don't think Savage...
No, it's not who Savage is.
Right, and he didn't want to butt heads with Jeremy. You know, he was trying to be a wimpy little non-leader.
Wimpy little non-leader.
So, you know, he didn't want to fight Jeremy, who he thought was his ally at the time. And I think they were allies at the time, to an extent, at least to as much as Jeremy could make use of him.
But Jeremy was looking a couple of moves ahead of like, hey, I can't let you get rid of Steven because I need to have the horses when it eventually goes to war. Like Jeremy, I don't think wanted to go to the end with Savage. And it's like, I need to keep my pawns on the board or whatever he looked at, whatever chess piece analogy you want to attribute Jeremy to Steven. I need to keep my pieces here. And Savage was sort of like, okay, well, let me just, okay, well, move forward with Jeremy. I don't think he was looking at the game in that same way. I think that Savage was probably looking at the game of, okay, let's just get it down to final five, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Well, yeah, I think it's clear Savage is not ever looking at the game through a, I will call a correctly strategic point of view.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it was a game of telephone after that. He tells Joe, Joe tells Sierra, Sierra tells Kelly, and boom, idol play, Savage is gone.
Okay, so now we have a very interesting scenario coming up next week. This Wednesday is going to be the final seven, of course. That's one of the most exciting times in the Survivor season. David, what do you think is going to be happening this Wednesday night?
Well, you know, I was somewhat surprised to see Spencer immediately go back and talk.
As was I.
Yeah. And I think this takes us back to something that you have frequently said, which is that a player brings something from their season's winner with them.
Ooh,
when they play again.
I like this.
And you know, that would be Tony.
Yeah.
Tony was famous for being able to jump in and out of his alliance, and it seems to me that's just what Spencer did here. So he is with them, and then he jumps out to vote out Steven, and then he immediately comes back to them and says, hey, I had to do this because Steven was gunning for me. And I don't think Steven was gunning for him, but hey, whatever works to get him back into their good graces.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm glad you brought this up. Tony does the same exact thing at Final Nine in Survivor Kageon to LJ. And while LJ is not directly gunning for him, I believe in the exit interviews, LJ says, okay, I would have gunned for Tony at a certain point. LJ was certainly gunning for Tony more so than Steven was gunning for Spencer.
Right, absolutely. Especially since Stephen apparently thought that he might be able to beat Spencer in the final three.
And Tony famously made his moves in the post-merge game at 9, at 7, at 5. So at 7, Tony did the same exact thing where he voted out Jeffra and he voted with himself, Wu, Tasha, and Spencer to take out Jeffra. Are you saying that you think that maybe Spencer could flip to the other side again here at 7?
I think that's definitely a possibility. Is he going to stick with Tasha and Jeremy or jump back with Kelly and company? And I think we have evidence that points both directions. You know, one of the small bits of information that I picked up from the bonus confessionals this week was, as you had mentioned, you know, Tasha said Spencer being left with her and Jeremy during the reward was a good thing because, in addition to Spencer giving the Steven excuse, they had a solid 2 to 3 hours of strategy talk. So Tasha thinks it was a huge mistake for Kelly not to take them on the reward for that reason. But we also have the flip side. We already talked about Kelly's tweet and bonus confessional about trusting Spencer. I feel like the two of them are still working together in secret. It was beneficial for them to join with Jeremy and Tasha this time to take out Joe. And sure, Spencer spent all that time talking strategy with the two of them. But you know, we now know he spent a long time talking to Steven as well. And we all know how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So with all this in mind, I just have a feeling Spencer's going to jump back with Kelly this week, unless something weird happens to prevent that, like Abby Maria going crazy and targeting him and saying he's moldy.
It's certainly in the realm of possibility. So, okay, Spencer would jump with Kelly, you would assume, with Abby Maria. Who's the fourth person and who is their target?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that the Women's Alliance is a red herring. I don't think that will ever work. So we can, you know, just put that aside despite how much time they spent on it.
It certainly was in Survivor Kageon.
Right. So I think he joins, like you said, with Kelly and Abby Maria, and they bring in Keith because Keith right now has nowhere else to go. And he voted against Tasha. So he clearly thinks he's on the opposite side of Tasha. And that just leaves Jeremy, Tasha, and Kimmy on the other side. Now, you know, you were right when you talked on the voicemail show about Kimmy being held as part of the core group mainly by Steven. So without him being there, she's maybe not as close to Jeremy and Tasha, but I still think she will gravitate back to those two instead of the Spencer-Kelly group.
It's definitely possible. Who do you think they target?
I think that they target Jeremy if he doesn't have immunity. And I think that Spencer keeps him completely in the dark, which sets them up for a true blindside if Jeremy doesn't play his idol.
Wow.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And, you know, Tyson mentioned that players may want to use their idols at Final Seven just in case, but I just don't see Jeremy doing that unless he really feels threatened. Spencer's good at making his target feel perfectly safe. So depending on how the challenge goes, we could see Jeremy voted out with an idol in his pocket to, you know, finally bring to Val.
We certainly could see that happen. I definitely think that that's within the realm of possibility. I just don't think that that's the most likely outcome. I don't know if Spencer is going to just flip back after he made so much inroads with Jeremy and Tasha after last week's episode. It really did seem, and especially that we're seeing it in the episode and we're not seeing Spencer sort of have that double talk with us. Like with the Steven thing, they just never showed us Spencer talking with Steven. And so it didn't seem like as big of a blindside to the audience who wasn't really following the podcast and didn't think that they had that sort of connection in the outside world. If you were just watching the show, you'd really have no idea that Spencer and Steven were close allies in the game. But we've seen so much of Spencer talking with Jeremy. I feel like that would be such a huge betrayal in the show that I don't think that's where Spencer is going. I feel like Spencer is sort of invested in this Tasha and Jeremy thing. But the question for me is, who's the fourth person that's going to vote with them? Is it Kimmy or is it Keith? I guess it could potentially be both, but it seems like Kimmy is out after last week's episode in terms of voting with them.
Yeah, I don't know. If Kimmy thinks that it's Jeremy and Tasha and her and Spencer, then she would be wise to stay with that group. If she's aware of Spencer's betrayal, which I don't think she will be, then yeah, she could flip with them. But you were talking about, you know, what we've seen on the show. And yes, Spencer is closer with Jeremy and Tasha. I mean, one story that it could be telling is Spencer flips again, gets out Jeremy, and now you've got a couple of bitter, betrayed people on the jury.
Right.
And maybe that is the story that we're being told.
I mean, there's been almost nothing on the show linking Spencer and Kelly Wentworth together. And I'm not saying that they're not working together, but I'm saying from a narrative standpoint, we've seen almost no conversation with them throughout this game.
Well, that's true.
It would be really out of left field if Spencer went ahead and voted with them. I think what could end up happening is maybe Kelly, Abby, and Kimmy end up getting Keith on board. Because if you're Keith, sure, it's kind of like a women's alliance, but got to think that Keith Nail really likes his chances to win immunity at the Final Four up against Abby, Kimmy, and Kelly.
If he's thinking that far ahead.
If he's thinking that far ahead, I do think, but I think that Keith is like, sure, I got a good chance there.
Yeah, he might be. And then what if that happens, if it becomes that obvious, then Jeremy plays his idol. And then Kelly plays her idol to make sure she's not the target. And then what happens?
Well, I think it would be Kimmy is the one who would be snowing Jeremy and Tasha and Spencer in that scenario.
Do you think she's good enough to do that?
I think she might be. She did it to Monica.
Maybe two different things there.
Certainly. This would be a higher degree of difficulty for Kimmy, but I think that Tasha certainly knew that the Women's Alliance was in play, so that might be making her a little wary of all this. Or it could be Keith. I think that Keith, it would be probably a lot easier to see if he was deceiving them. But I think that Kimmy is capable of sort of pulling the wool over the eyes of the Jeremy, Tasha, and Spencer Alliance.
So you think that they will succeed and Jeremy will still go home with an idol in his pocket?
Boy, I don't know. I think that the most likely scenario is that Kimmy stays on board with Tasha and Spencer and Jeremy. And I think that they vote out Kelly. And I think that Kelly potentially plays her idol. I think if I had to put my money down on any scenario, I think that foursome holds together and they put the vote on Kelly. And Kelly could potentially realize, okay, it's me, Keith, or Abby Maria. I don't think that they're gunning for Abby Maria or Keith here. Let me play my idol. And whoever they decide to vote for, potentially Jeremy, could get idled out of the game.
If Kelly plays her idol, don't you think Jeremy has to play his?
I think he should, but will he? That'll be a very interesting question.
I think he has to.
I think he has to.
I can't imagine him sitting there and not doing it when Kelly plays her. Unless he's just that stunned.
We'll see what happens. And then going from there, then we could have the very interesting 0-0 vote where you can't vote for Kelly, you can't vote for Jeremy, but that side with Kimmy and Tasha and Spencer, they would have 3 votes to the Abby Maria and Keith only having 2 votes. Take your pick whether they would vote for Keith or Abby Maria.
Right. And it could depend on who has immunity at that point also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be that Jeremy wins immunity, and so then they target Tasha, in which case there's no way Jeremy is again using his idol to save someone at that point,
right.
I don't think. And if Spencer wins immunity, then, you know, he's free and clear to do whatever he wants, and he's safe. If Keith wins immunity, which I don't think he will because it seems to be running and jumping and swimming, unless that's the reward challenge.
Mm-hmm. Hard.
You know, it's hard to say, but if Keith wins immunity, you know, then Abby Maria could be in serious trouble.
Any other thoughts heading into Wednesday night?
Well, just looking into the far future, which in this case is only 2 weeks away, you and Allie talked on the voicemail show about how Tasha can win going forward. And you know, talked about how various people can win. And I'm thinking she can only win against 2 out of the 3 of Kimmy or Abby or Keith.
Okay.
But, you know, what Stephen told us is she had said she had wanted to go to the end with Stephen and Jeremy and then just let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
If that was true and she wasn't just feeding him BS, then she might not actually be looking to bring weak players to the end, in which case I think she basically can't win.
That would be a very big blind spot if she is trying to get to the end with Jeremy.
Right. But that also takes me back to the Spencer question, which is, why would Spencer stay with Jeremy and Tasha? I mean, yes, we talked about, you know, the flipping back and forth and that he might want to stick with them. Does Spencer think he can beat Jeremy and Tasha in a final three?
I'm with you. To me, the Steven move makes almost no sense to double back and then link up with a pair who probably won't turn on each other.
Right.
It made sense to me when it was like, okay, let's move forward with Kelly, Abby, Keith, and Joe. And at some point, you know, let's hope that Joe doesn't win an immunity coming down the stretch and we can take him out.
Well, and that's why, you know, despite what the narrative of the story is telling us, I'm still thinking if Spencer was thinking straight that he was going to flip back, which would put sneaky, sneaky Kelly in a good place.
Sneaky, sneaky.
You know, and we could actually end up in that situation with a final three involving Kelly versus Spencer versus Abby, Maria, or Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who wins that one.
It would be really interesting to see. I think that Spencer has certainly made some more enemies in the game than Kelly has, where I don't think that Kelly has made very many enemies. We'll see if Kelly has another idol play to add to her resume. Feels like a coin flip.
Right. And that's why I was saying maybe that's the storyline, is the betrayal. He betrayed Steven. He betrayed Jeremy. He betrayed Tasha. And maybe none of them vote for him in the end.
We are down to just, what, 3 hours of the show and the reunion for this season, and that's it?
Sounds like it. You're right. It's hard to believe with this many people that it's just going to go bing, 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 and they're going to be gone.
It's going to be a very exciting home stretch of the season. David, do you have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
I think we'll go with the obvious one, which would be obvious threat.
Obvious threat. Okay. So then you could follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bloomberg. Be back next week to talk about whoever finishes in seventh place, why they lost. Apparently, at the end of the season, we're going to do one big wrap up where we're going to talk about why so-and-so won. And then I guess as we go through, we'll talk about why the other players lost.
Yes, I think that's the best way to handle it. Otherwise, there might be a little too much repetition.
All right. So we're going to have to book like, what, 3 hours for that?
Hey, I'm not Tyson here.
So very much looking forward to that. Of course, we've got another big week of podcasts coming up. Thanks to everybody who's been using our links for Amazon.com this holiday season. That is greatly appreciated by yours truly. Thank you guys so much. Anything else you guys have to say about this? We always look forward to reading your comments. And then, of course, we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.